Impact, showcasing our Southern Arizona nonprofit superheroes that impact our community.
Hello, I'm Barbara McClure, the host of the new talk show on Tucson Business Radio X called Southern Arizona Nonprofits Impacting Our Community. You might be surprised to find out that there are thousands of nonprofits in Tucson, more per capita than anywhere else in the state. These are the true superheroes who come to the rescue, and as their clients would probably tell you, they often save the day. I am the director of a Tucson nonprofit called Impact of Southern Arizona, and we bring people together to stabilize families and seniors and to help guide and support people on a pathway, a personalized pathway, actually, out of poverty. And we know the importance of partnerships. We've been in the community 20 years, and we know that it's all about bringing people together. So the point of this show is to bring a lot of nonprofits together so they can connect with each other, but also be introduced to you, our listeners. So today, because it's Veterans time of year, and we've just spent the weekend honoring and celebrating veterans, we're bringing veterans together, organizations that are helping veterans, to talk about what they do in the community and how they are the superheroes. So today we have three people with us. We have Melvin Morgan, otherwise known as Butch.
Yes.
Thank you for being here today, Butch.
Thank you.
Butch is with the Vietnam Veterans of America, the local chapter in Tucson, one of many. So he'll be visiting with us about that. And then we also have Saad Alawi.
Hello.
Hello, Saad. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Saad is the founder and the strategist behind Healing Arizona Veterans and the work they're doing with hyperbaric oxygen therapies. So that'll also be very interesting. And of course, these days when we honor veterans, we don't honor only the military service, but also our first responders. So today we have an interesting veterans group who's helping retired canine officers. So it's not what we first think of when we think of veterans, but we have John Klipstein here to talk with us about what that organization is doing.
Hi, thanks, Barbara.
You're welcome, John. Thanks for coming. So I grew up in the 60s, and of course, that was the season of Vietnam, and a lot of our friends' parents were proudly sending their children off to fight in that war, and others were stressing because their sons were being drafted into the conflict. So I have a personal feeling for the Vietnam vets because I think they came back to the country after the service and, of course, weren't always feeling welcomed and supported by community. So, Butch, I'd love to hear what you have to say, what your organization is doing, because you've got a group of Vietnam veterans that get together regularly.
My chapter happens to be the largest chapter in the state of Arizona with over 225 members. Our deal is to try to help veterans that are in need, like paying their gas bills, electric bill, rent or something if they get behind on. It's a one-time deal for the veterans, but usually we pay it one time, and they're pretty much on their way again.
Sure. I bet a lot of those then feel like you're the superhero when you come in to save them on a rent payment or a utility payment.
I do at times, but it's fulfilling when we can help somebody out and get them on the road again, the recovery.
Sure. And then do all of these veterans then necessarily live in Tucson because they're coming to local meetings?
Most of our veterans are local here within the 50-mile radius of us.
Sure.
That we serve. They're referred to us by different other organizations, may not be able to help them at that particular time.
Sure. And I think, so it's benefiting the local veterans, but you also raise money for Vietnam veterans around the area, around the state?
Yes, we do. It's not just the Vietnam veterans we help. We help any veteran that comes within need. Even today, we have a lot of young veterans out there who are homeless or about to become homeless. It's got families that we support, too.
Sure. And I know October's just happened, so you just had a big event.
Yes, NAM Jam is what it's been called for many, many years. Almost four years ago now, we renamed it NAM to Sand Jam to try to get some of the younger veterans involved. So someday, as you know, the Vietnam veterans are dying off about as fast a rate than what the World War II veterans are because of the Agent Orange is involved, which I have had problems with that. But it's a festival all day, music, with many different veterans organizations there trying to help the veterans that are in need.
Oh, nice. So it's kind of like an agency fair. They get to connect with others as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
That's very cool. And I think when I first saw the title of that, NAM to Sand or NAM and Sand, I couldn't make the correlation of sand. So you're including?
Well, the younger veterans in the Middle East, they call it the sandbox.
Sure.
And that's where we put the sand into it because Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and everything, those places like that, it's mostly sand. I've been there too. I was a part of Desert Shield, Desert Storm as well. So I know what those areas are like.
So you've served in a lot of different conflicts.
Several.
Well, we thank you for your service. I know everyone in this room and the whole city and everyone.
Well, if they hadn't kicked me out of the service in 2004, I'd probably be there today. So I'm still serving in one way or the other.
Well, I love your story about how you first enlisted. Maybe you can share some of your military service.
Well, I was my senior year in high school, and we had a big, I guess you'd call auditorium of all the seniors came in. And at the time, I was scheduled to go to veterinary school. But this big, tall, good-looking Marine, about 6 foot tall, walked in blues. I said, that's where I'm going. My mother said no. My stepdad said yes. It was kind of conflict there because I am sole surviving son. My father was killed in the Battle of the Bulge in 1945. And my mom threw a fit, but I still got in.
Sure. I can see as a mother of boys, that would make me nervous as well. And then you served in other...
Well, I went from... After being in Vietnam for over a year and been shot at and what have you, I wanted to stay a Marine, but they were getting ready to send me back, so I got out. Well, my dad was needing me at home, and I couldn't stay out, and I wound up in the Army Guard for almost 2 years and decided that wasn't what I wanted. I went to the Air Force, and they was going to take me back on active duty, and then they couldn't, so I joined the Air Force Reserves in Kansas City, spent 11 years with them. And wound up on active duty with the Air National Guard out of St. Joe, Missouri, with the 139th Airlift Wing, and finally retired from there in 2004.
Well, you've been very busy. A long military career, for sure.
Loved every minute of it.
Well, again, we thank you for that.
Thank you.
I think, can you give us a little more information about where your organization meets or how people could get involved with you, other veterans, if they'd like to join?
We meet at the VA hospital at the... Arizona Veterans Home every fourth Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. And this month, we have no meeting, and December, we have no meeting there because the holidays happen to fall on the fourth Thursday. So we have a potluck the 1st of December on December 5th to kind of make a meeting out of it and also get together for wives and the families that come together to meet and enjoy themselves for a while.
Sure. So is it open to any service?
It's open to any service member anywhere, whether the young ones or old ones or in between.
All right. And then how did they find out more information? Do you want to share your website for our listeners?
I have to look at it because I can't remember it off the top of my head. Our website is called TucsonNAMVets.org. And all of our organization activities are posted on there. We have a very good person that takes care of that for us. And our email is vva106@live.org.
Well, that's nice. Maybe you'll get some new members to sign up. Is there a membership fee? Or
right now, the lifetime membership dropped last year to $50 for lifetime membership because of the age. Our average age right now for Vietnam vets is around 72.
Sure. Well, that's still a good deal, $50 for a lifetime membership.
Membership, lifetime.
Sure. And why do you think people join? What do you think they get out of it? Why would our listeners think they might want to?
Camaraderie and a lot of things in common. A lot of vets won't talk to other people but they will talk to each other.
Yes, and at Impact, we once tried to do a veterans programming and found that a lot of the Vietnam veterans didn't want to talk about Vietnam. So it's great for those who do want to find a connection and people to meet with, to come down, it sounds like.
It doesn't make any what conflict you're in. If you'll get veterans who want to like maybe talk to you one-on-one, they won't tell you what happened. But you get a vet talking to another vet, they will talk about what happened to them.
Sure.
And it's an outlet.
Right, and a chance to relate to someone else who's been through the same thing.
Yes.
Sure. Do you find that Vietnam veterans can relate to Desert Storm or, you know, some of those other conflicts?
Through some of the traumas, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They had landmines and EIDs and everything back then, too.
Sure.
Just well, because I almost stepped on one back then. But thanks for the guy behind me seeing it first. Yes.
Sure. Well, that brings me to a good point, because I'd like to introduce you to Saad Alawi, because Saad's program, Healing Arizona Veterans, is really interesting. I've known Saad for a long time, and when he started this nonprofit, I thought it was an amazing thing, and it has a lot of wonderful history. So, Saad, maybe you can tell us about your organization. What I think of your organization, I think of it as HBOT, because I know that's how you refer to it.
And, right.
And they just had a fundraiser recently at the Gaslight Theater, so there are lots of ways to participate. But maybe you can explain to people what HBOT is and what kinds of therapies you're doing.
Yeah, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, or HBOT. In simple terms, what it is you sit in a chamber and it's pressurized, typically 1.5 times atmosphere, and you breathe pure surgical oxygen for about an hour. And what that does is it significantly improves the oxygen inflow into your body and brain 8 times, and it regenerates stem cells at 8 times normal, and it has a lot of other clinical benefits. So typically, if you have, for example, traumatic brain injury or some symptoms of PTSD, you would sit in the chamber, you go maybe 40, 60, 80 sessions, depending on your condition. And what it does is it actually heals. Not manages symptoms through medication, it actually heals, because it gets the brain, the blood flow to your brain in areas where you didn't get it before.
That's the part that was so amazing to me, the idea that you could heal people from PTSD just simply with oxygen. And it seemed like, when you first told me about it, I thought, boy, it doesn't even take that many treatments, really, does it? There's a lot of success background.
Yeah, it does not. There are actually over 5,200 veterans who have been treated by this nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And the two facilities where we send our veterans to be treated, one in Phoenix, one in Tucson, have treated over 70 over the past 20 years. And with our own donations, we've just finished 3, and we have 3 more in the process.
Boy,
all of them with incredible results. I mean, people are cured, basically.
And I think there must be a lot of veterans. And for you, Butch, if you know veterans in your organization who are struggling with PTSD or traumatic brain injury.
Yes, I do. Several people that I know have that.
Sure. And can you imagine if it could be resolved so easily by a hyperbolic oxygen therapy?
I'm going to have him come to one of our meetings after the first of the year and talk more about it.
There you go. I think that's
happy to.
That's part of what I'm excited about this show, is that it's an opportunity to bring people around the table like this and talk about what we have in common and what all of you do together, and then to be able to connect and find another partnership and share that information with your members as well as the public. Well, thank you, Saad. What about what's your relationship with the Veterans Administration?
Not much at the moment, because the hyperbaric oxygen therapy is not an approved therapy for treating brain injury as of yet.
Okay.
That may change. Typically, treatment is through medication, but that just manages symptoms. It doesn't actually resolve the issue. So we've got nothing to do with the VA. And all our treatment is done through private donations, not the VA.
So it's not something you would submit to your insurance. It's going to be a flat fee, and if you're fortunate, HBOT will cover you?
Correct. Healing Arizona Veterans, because we accept donations, so because it's not approved, Veterans come to us. We have a physician. We actually have two. Physicians talk to the veterans, find out what the condition is. Sometimes they do an MRI, DTI, find out what the issue is. And then you get the treatment. And the treatment comes from private donations that Healing Arizona Veterans collects.
Sure. How do you select your patients?
As I said, there are a couple of we have two doctors. One of them is a neurologist who's an expert in this, Dr. Carol Henricks, and she's been to Congress a few times testifying on this topic. The second one, who's the chairman of our board, is Dr. Robert Sexton. Dr. Sexton is a triple veteran. He was in Vietnam, then he went and became a doctor, and then he volunteered to Iraq and Afghanistan. And it turns out there is no age limit if you're a doctor or a priest for serving. And so he can give the field service requirements, and he can look at the patient from that point of view. And our neurologist looks at the patient from a damage to the brain.
Sure. So they're treated, so people in Tucson can be treated here in Tucson. That's a great opportunity not to have to travel.
Yeah, actually, because we are a statewide organization right now, we have two private facilities that are part of our network, one in Tucson, North Star Hyperbaric, and one in Phoenix, Hyperbaric Oxygen Therapy of Arizona. And the three patients we've treated were all treated actually in Phoenix because that's where they lived.
Sure.
It's just easier. We have treated a few before in Tucson. One of them happened to be a Vietnam veteran. But the new ones are mostly of more recent wars, of Iraq or Afghanistan.
Gotcha. And I know I was talking to Saad at one point because I live in Pinal County, just in Tucson, but just over the county line. And there the sheriff's department has partitioned the prison so that they've put all of the veterans together and they have decorated the whole interior of that section with veterans' logos, you know, the American flag and eagles and things like that, so that all these veterans are together. And I talked with Sheriff Mark Lamb about the idea that, you know, some of those veterans who are suffering PTSD and some of those things end up getting into trouble with the law and end up in jail, but it's really not because they're criminals as much as it's more of a mental health issue. And so, you know, someday there might be a partnership there too where he'd have a patient that would be interested to come be treated with you.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, we were approached by the Veterans Court. There's a Veterans Court here. And they are interested in treating some of their veterans who come to the Veterans Court or part of the Veteran Court system for us to treat them.
Sure.
We haven't yet, but they are interested.
Well, how long has your nonprofit been established so far?
It's been about 2 years, a little over 2 years, two years and a couple of months.
Sure. And I know you've been really active up at the legislature. Maybe you can talk about the House bill.
That's interesting. Because this is not an approved procedure on a federal level and the VA, some states have taken it upon themselves to actually offer this treatment. It started with Oklahoma back in 2014. Arizona became the fifth state that made this a condition or made it into a legislation for support of veterans. And it was March of 2018, it was signed into law by the governor, but it passed both houses unanimously. House Bill 2513. I had been working with the state for about 2 years through presentation and education, and then they came forward with a bill, and it passed unanimously.
That's pretty nice. Not too much happens unanimously at the legislature necessarily.
That's for sure.
So clearly, they see it as an important part of our community, an important opportunity for people. So what would you like to see happen with this treatment, Saad? What's your goal for the future?
From our perspective, honestly, we would like the VA to admit this, that this is an appropriate treatment, and offer it to the veterans. And then whether they go to a VA hospital because they've set up an appropriate wing for hyperbaric or go to private facilities doesn't matter to us as long as they get treated. And that's very, very important for us. One thing you ought to know, Andy Biggs, who used to be Speaker of the House here in Arizona, he's now a congressman for it's 5th District of Arizona, Congressional District, and I can't remember exactly which one it is. But he and Kevin Cramer, who is a junior senator from North Dakota, they have both put a bill through Congress to offer, make it as a choice for veterans who need this kind of help at the doctor's own discretion.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's going to pass. I've been watching it, but we'll see.
Sure. What do you think is the, do you think it's an uphill battle to get the Veterans Administration to support it?
Well, the Veterans Administration will do it if the Congress says it's got to be done.
Sure.
But on their own, yes, it's an uphill battle.
Sure. Because I think even if Congress said, yes, it was possible, then you have to get them to agree, sure.
Correct.
So it's, well, that's a, it's an amazing opportunity for people to recover from something, I think. So that's a neat thing you're doing. Thank you so much for what you're doing in the community.
Thank you.
May I say something?
Yes, absolutely.
The Vietnam Veterans National Organization, they're lobbying Congress day in and day out up there. If you can get hold of the national organization, they'll put somebody up there constantly on the Congress.
Okay.
There you go. There's a little extra support. Good idea, Butch.
Thank you.
Maybe afterwards you can all connect and share some resources and contacts. That's terrific. I think the other interesting thing is while we constantly think about veterans and the struggles they go through with their health post-war and post-conflict and your idea, Saad, about this hyperbaric treatment, I think that the other fun thing is what John brings to the table, and that's the idea that we have service dogs who retire and that they too have medical bills, some related to their service. And so, John, it'd be interesting to hear from you about what the Oro Valley Optimist Club has started recently. Maybe you can tell us about your canine retirement fund.
I'm happy to. The Oro Valley Optimist Club was approached by a couple of officers, I want to say about 8-9 months ago, and they informed us that out of the three service dogs that work for the Oro Valley Police Department, two were up for retirement within the next 6 months, and one to follow later this year, which will be next month. One of the things that most people don't know is that the handlers of these dogs, 85% of the time, adopt the dog for their family pet after the dog is retired. And with that comes a enormous possibility of veterinary bills, injuries on that they've suffered on the job, long-term health issues for many different reasons. And the handlers, up to the point when we established this fund, were out of pocket. Now, you have to realize a lot of these officers are young men with young families of their own, and we all know how underpaid law enforcement officers are. So we put our heads together. Oro Valley Optimist Club is a youth services group, and I'll tell you a little bit about that later. But we established it through the city council and acquired an additional 501c3 rating for this fund. And the way it works is we go out into the community and talk to citizens of our town, because right now it's exclusive to Oro Valley, but our intentions, by the way, are to expand to other departments and throughout Pima County, as we do with our youth services. But we established the fund, and lo and behold, within the first 30 days, one of the officers, retired dogs, incurred a $2,000 veterinary bill, which was a direct result of service to our community. And we were able to step up and help that young man out and his family and take care of that bill for him. That one action kind of triggered multiple people jumping on board and getting involved, and really made our job of spreading the news locally about this canine retirement fund. And I'm happy to say that I believe we've raised almost $5,000 to this point. And I got some incredible news today. We have a benefactor of who I will not name yet, but hopefully in a future show, Barbara can fill in our audience. has agreed to purchase the next new dog for the police department through our 501c3.
Oh, that's exciting.
And it's very exciting. That just happened today. And we are presently dealing with the accounting end of it to see how we can fulfill this wish of our benefactor for the Oro Valley Police Department.
So this person is providing, he or she providing the dog for the...
Correct.
For the police department?
Yes.
You know, I know those dogs are not inexpensive because their training is so intensive.
They can cost anywhere from $9,000 to $15,000 each.
Gosh.
And believe me, that is a discounted price to the departments because the costs of training those dogs is exceptionally higher than that amount.
Sure. Do you by any chance know how long a dog stays in service, number of years?
Well, I happen to know three of them personally.
Sure.
And my private business does a service contract for the Oro Valley Police Department servicing vehicles. So I get to see the officers on a regular basis. And the general service life is between 6 and 8 years. And not only on the job in our community, Barbara's familiar with the Route 77 Oracle Road Corridor.
Sure.
Which is, excuse me, which is a really a pathway for a lot of drugs, illegal immigrants, moving product through the state. Sure. Those dogs come in super handy and keep Oro Valley the safest city in Arizona, as it's repeatedly won that award. But 6 to 8 years is a long time for a service dog. They spend a lot of time in the back of a patrol car. They spend a lot of time in training and doing demonstrations and exhibitions. One example is the fifth grade drug awareness day for Amphi Schools, which takes place every May. And they put on a wonderful presentation, and it not only shows the kids the importance and the value of these dogs, but it also instills career achievements for these fifth graders looking forward to what they want to do with their lives and possibly stir some interest in law enforcement, first responders, you know, from top to bottom.
Sure, and I know that, you know, we have two dogs, and I think pets, as you said, really become part of the family. So I can imagine for a police officer when that dog retires, how could you say goodbye? You must have to take them home.
Right. And, you know, the amazing thing is that when these dogs are not commanded to do their job, they love to go to work, by the way, but when they're in a social situation, they're really some of the most warm and friendly and loving animals. Now, there's restrictions to how far you can go, the officers can go with that in public, but it's really been an honor to get to know these animals and you know, their abilities and the officers that handle them and the compassion that they have for their jobs to keep us safe.
Sure, that's terrific. Well, I'm curious for all of you, if you would like to give our listeners an opportunity to find out how to connect with you. So, John, how would somebody give to your organization, or can you share the website?
Sure.
Since it's through the Optimist Club so people can find you?
Ours is a simple website, orovalleyoptimist.com, and we meet at the Oro Valley Community Center on La Cañada, which is the old El Conquistador Country Club. We meet on the third Tuesday of every month at 11:30 till 1. We have a luncheon. We encourage new members. We encourage visitors. We encourage spreading the word of optimism throughout our county and state. You can reach me at any time as an ambassador of the club at 520-591-2537, which is my cell phone, or at my business phone, which is 520 585-4524. You can also send us an email off of our website. And on our website, there's also a donation click button. And I failed to mention earlier, this fund, not only for purchasing dogs, I mentioned one story, but these officers have really poured their lives into these animals. And I think it's important that we step up as a community to help them with the financial burdens as these dogs retire and, you know, finish their lives, hopefully very happy and as healthy as possible.
Sure. And so, I think we all know that veterinary bills are not inexpensive. So
right.
I think, like you said, just one procedure, $2,000. So
right.
That's a lot of money to raise ahead. And I'm sure we have a lot of listeners who are pet supporters. So this is a nice way to do both support animals and support veterans in that way. And we will, on the website for the radio show, have everyone's contact information and their bios. So if you want to learn more about our guests today, you can find that on the website at Tucson Business Radio X under Nonprofits, Southern Arizona Nonprofits Impacting Our Community. And Saad, how about you? Would you like to tell us? I know you must be on a mission to raise a lot of money to help these veterans too. So what do you need from our listeners?
Our website, and there you can go there, it's Healing Arizona Veterans, one word, .org. And on the website, you'll find a lot of information. We actually have a lot of valuable information on hyperbaric oxygen therapy. We have hundreds of testimonials from veterans who've been treated with it. We have a lot of studies, book references, and all kinds of other material. We also have a donate button, so you can click there and either send us a check or donate directly. And the best way to contact us is if you go to the website, there's both an email address and a phone number. So you can call the phone number or send us an email, an email, and we will get it and somebody will come back to you. If it's a veteran seeking help, the chances are one of our physicians will call you. If it's somebody looking for help in terms of donations or support, or they're looking for somebody to give a presentation, then it's likely to be me calling you. So that's the way to do it.
And are you still looking for board members to serve on your...
Yes, indeed. Okay. We sadly lost one of our board members on October 19th. He was a veteran, and he passed away for ill health. And we are looking for additional board members. The organization is 100% volunteers. Nobody get paid, not the board members, not the staff. That enables us, if you donate, 92 cents of every dollar you donate goes towards the treatment of the veterans.
That's a great percentage. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was going to ask you, you were talking about testimonials. Do you know of any stories? Have you talked to any of these veterans who've been through the therapy personally by chance?
Yes, actually. I mean, there are at least two of them who I know personally, and their testimonials are on our website. Mm-hmm. One is Robin O'Bannon, who's an Air Force technical staff sergeant, and the other one is Chris Leiby, who was both in Iraq and Afghanistan with the Army and with the Marine Force. The best thing to do is literally go look at their testimonials. Some of them, they have their family members, and they tell you how much they've improved over time. There are other testimonials from other people, but those two I know personally.
Well, that's exciting. It's just a neat idea that people can be cured from that, because I always thought that, you know, if a veteran developed PTSD, they were probably likely to have it for the rest of their lives. It seems like it's very difficult. But I know, Butch, do you find that those people can get help at the Veterans Administration if you had a lot of success and positive experience with the VA?
VA is now really just now, what I understand, the meeting I went to here a while back, that the VA now is really starting to look into more treatment for the veterans for that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a group that meets every Wednesday at 1 o'clock in Building 90. There are veterans that I know, and three of my members happen to go to that, and one of them is the leader of that. Veterans talking about their problems in Vietnam, or as well as today. I think they said they had two young veterans there now.
Sure. So they're finding help at the Veterans Hospital. Yeah, and it's nice to have some answers. John?
Can I ask Saad a question?
Absolutely. Sure. You bet. Converse with each other.
Can you estimate what kind of expense there is for this, for a single treatment for someone with PTSD with this treatment?
Actually, the focus is more traumatic brain injury as opposed to PTSD.
Okay.
PTSD could be purely psychological. Traumatic brain injury is from either concussion or some other kind of physical damage to the brain.
Okay.
So the focus is more towards the physical damage, the traumatic brain injury. Treatments cost at the two facilities where we send our patient $100 or $115 per session. And typically you need 40, depending on severity of case, 40, 60, or 80 sessions.
Okay.
And so we're talking about between $6,000 and $12,000 for treatment. But remember, this is a one-time deal. You do that treatment, it either works for you or it does not. If it works for you, you don't need anything else. And it costs on average, what they found out in Texas, $13,000 per year to treat a veteran using traditional methods, pharmaceuticals and other. And that's per year. So this is a lot more effective.
Well, that was really stimulated my question there, because it sounds like a long-term money-saving idea that should really be addressed more at the federal level, too.
I think so.
I wish you luck.
You can see why we're eager to get this word out to our listeners, because the potential is just huge.
Right.
Wow. So thank you for that question, John. That's terrific.
Impact with Barbara McClure, featuring Southern Arizona nonprofits within our community.
Well, and it's just fun to hear all of the things that all of you are doing, and so we're just excited. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the community? How about you, Butch? Anything you want them to know about your organization? I know you have a lot of different fundraising techniques, so I've seen you have lots of different events that you put on. Do you also, you take straight donations as well?
We have what we call a traveling museum that we'll set up at anybody's organization. We can set up large or we can set up small, depending on how much space they give us. And we just set out donation boxes.
Well, that's cool. And how long does it stay up?
Depending on the day of the event.
Sure.
If it's an all-day event, we'll stay all day. If it's just a few hours, we'll put up a small display and then take it down.
Well, that sounds interesting. I can think of a lot of nonprofits that would love to do that, or a lot of organizations who have speakers come in. Mm-hmm. I know my husband is in politics and often speaks to organizations and goes to clubs, and I bet a lot of those would love to have that.
Our three main setups is Memorial Day weekend at South Lawn. At their cemetery, we sit up there for the 3 days. And car show, which is always in September, and then NAMM Jam in October are our three main events. Like I say, we will go, if invited, free of charge. All we do is set up a ammo box, which is a donation box.
Sure.
And whatever we make is what goes right back in either. Going out to help veterans or keep our museum updated.
Sure. Do you get donations from other veterans to your museum?
Not very often we get them from other organizations, but we do get a lot from different veterans. In fact, I just got a check today in the mail from a veteran that missed NAMM Jam and because of illness, he sent a donation to us out of the blue, which we weren't expecting.
Well, that's exciting. So clearly he missed the opportunity to come to the event and he'd probably be into others.
But our money comes in from grants or organizations within the Tucson area. Desert Diamond is one of our biggest supporters. And a couple other. Pizza Hut was our biggest supporter this year. We're putting flyers out on their pizza boxes from 15 September to the day of NAMM Jam.
Oh, nice.
With the logo and the happening on it. So that was our biggest advertisement this year.
So if I, as an organization at Impact, have a client who is a veteran who needs some help, would say financially in making a rent payment, would that be someone I could call you about and say, you know, does this fit? Is this a good match?
Yes, ma'am, it can. they have to have a copy of their DD-214.
Okay.
And their copy of their bill. Oh, we pay the bill directly to whoever the bill goes to, where it's telephone, electric. The veteran does not touch it.
Sure.
If it's for rent, it goes straight to the people that they're renting from.
Sure, and that's a very common thing in nonprofits. For those of you in the audience who aren't as familiar, we typically do a third-party pay to make sure that it goes specifically for that expense, and then they can use their earned income on other things. So that's terrific.
We have had veterans come through town and get stuck here because of funds. They can't make a bus trip or their car broke down.
Sure.
We will buy a bus ticket, go buy the bus ticket right there and give it to them to get them to the next destination. If the car breaks down, we'll get it into a shop that will take care of it and get them back on the road. But that's about as far as we can go with it.
Well, that's great. Those are all great things to do. So thank you for that. I think our audience, for people who are in that situation, either they can offer a partnership with you or maybe they know a veteran who's struggling who could benefit from those services.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think, is there anything else anybody would like to add? I know we've had an opportunity to visit, but maybe there's something specific about your organization you want the community to know about.
I can talk about, in addition to the Canine Retirement Fund for the Oro Valley Optimist Club, we are now in search of ideas and fundraising ideas to expand the Canine Retirement Club. And I would reach out to listeners if they can share an idea or have an idea. You can contact us via email on our website. That would be the first thing that we'd love to hear and get more people involved, especially animal lovers. This is more than a, it is more of an animal loving reaction to help and donate than it is a demand of dollars to, you know, help an individual. It's to help somebody who's already served us and given back to the community. I wanted to say we also do have a big golf fundraiser that we do the first weekend in May up at the golf club at Dove Mountain at the Ritz-Carlton. And it's been a very big draw the last – the golf tournament's gone on since the inception of the club in 2002. But for some reason, the mystique of that landscape up there on Dove Mountain – brings a lot more players to the club and in return allows us to raise more money for our needy charities and for our retirement fund. So you can keep that in line and you can always sign up for that on our website as well. And that's just one other anecdote I wanted to throw in there.
Sure, I think that's important. There are so many nonprofits in Tucson, as I said, thousands of them, and lots of newer nonprofits, startups, and it's always a challenge to raise money, especially in a town where there are 3,000 opportunities to make your donation.
Yes.
And of course, we're coming up at the end of the year, so we have charitable tax contributions. Are any of you charitable tax contribution qualified? Saad, are you? Is HBOT available for the tax credit in Arizona? Do you know?
I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we are a 501c3, and we also have tax exemption in Arizona, but
sure.
I don't know.
So for the listeners at home, what I'm talking about is an interesting thing in Arizona about charitable tax contributions. So different charities can ask the state of Arizona to qualify for a tax credit that a donor can make. And what happens with the Arizona tax credit is that if you file Arizona tax return, and let's say you owe the tax man $500 at the end of calculating your tax bill, instead of giving that tax entity $500, you can give $400 to the qualified charity of your choice, and then you only have to pay the tax man $100. So Arizona legislature lets the people choose where they want to put their money, which is a really unique thing. And you, as a listener, can find out who the charitable tax qualified organizations are by going to the Arizona Corporate Commission website, and there's a list of them. And they all now have numbers. So it's good to know, and if you're a nonprofit out in Tucson who has not yet signed up to be a qualified organization, it's a great opportunity to raise money because there's an advantage to the donor as well as to the organization.
So it's 80% up to 500?
What it is it's a flat fee. So for an individual, they can donate $400 to a qualified nonprofit. If you're a couple, like my husband and I together, can contribute $800. And for a nonprofit that deals with foster children, it's actually $500 and $1,000. So if you're a nonprofit, you can get donors writing checks to you just because they don't have to send it to the tax man. And the cool thing is you also get to use it on your federal tax return as a general deduction. But then also a few years ago, the state legislature here in Arizona bumped the deadline up to tax day. So you can make your donation up until December. But if you didn't make it by December and you want to wait until you go to the tax man to find out what your tax bill is, you can donate your Arizona tax credit for 2019 all the way up to tax day 2020. Okay. So it's a nice opportunity. We find at Impact, right before April 15th, we often get donations in the mail for, $397.42 because it's right. Clearly, they've been to their CPA and they know what their tax bill is. So that's a great opportunity for nonprofits and for the community to support nonprofits. So, and I'm not sure if I would think maybe even for your organization.
We're 501c19.
Oh, C19? Mm-hmm. All right, there you go.
We're looking at going the 3.
Terrific. Well, then you might find that you also qualify, and that would be terrific.
And the reason for that is, as I mentioned earlier, the Vietnam veterans are getting older and health problems, and National is looking down the line, a few years down the line, is how to dissolve the organization.
Sure. That is a sad thought that eventually all the Vietnam veterans will have passed away. I know, I think about that.
Or not being able to make meetings or go to national conferences.
Sure. I think my mother-in-law was much older when I met her. She was my husband was born in the middle of her years. she was a late parent. She had children and then much later had another. And she used to say when my children were in high school, she would say to them, now when I was in high school, the only history I had to learn was the Civil War, because the wars were current news. And so they spent all their time learning about all the battles and the, really the strategies of the war. And so when my oldest son was in high school, he was, of course, learning about all of the everything going on in the Middle East and, all the conflicts that had happened in this century. And so she was just kind of amazed. But it is interesting to think that those Vietnam veterans, it's not long before those wars are so far back in our history that there are no longer people to tell those stories. And I think that that's a neat opportunity in your organization to keep those stories alive.
I just recently, in the last year and a half, I found schools have been asking Vietnam veterans to come talk about their experience, and I've been asked to two of them. And just out of all blue, I'll get a call and say, or an email saying, can you come? And I'm like, where did you find this at? And then I'll find out, well, it's on the website.
Sure.
So there are people still learning. In fact, what the deal up Nor Valley, when the wall was up there, we had our small display of our museum up there. It was two high school students, one girl and one boy, was telling the people around them what some of the items we had laid out. And I looked at them like, in fact, when it was over with, I asked them, what did you know? He said, we are studying about Vietnam now. And that was quite a surprise.
That is a surprise. That's interesting. And how wonderful that those high school students could identify the objects in the museum.
Because this one I had, some of you have heard of punji sticks, which is buried in the ground and dipped in human waste that you step on. That's about what I almost stepped on once. This young man, high school student was telling all these kids and their parents what these were that we had set up. And I was amazed that he knew what they were.
Sure. That's interesting. Well, that's a neat way to share a story. And I think your museum going around the community is another way to open those stories up to people. So
we don't even have stuff from Vietnam. We do have some couple of things from World War II and some of the items from our current wars in it.
Sure.
Well, whoever wants to donate items, we'll take it.
Yeah, that's a neat idea. I know my mother recently passed away, and so we had to empty her house. And of course, there are so many things when you empty your parents' house. And some of them people didn't necessarily want. I mean, there's so much. But we ended up making piles of things where this should go to one heritage society and this box should go to another organization who might want to track history, and books from old eras when cities were new and there weren't very many people in them. So those are off to those same kinds of places. So I think that's a neat idea for people, especially Vietnam veterans who might be alone or not have somebody who wants to carry that on. That's a great opportunity to pass it along to you. And would they just contact you at the website
just
then?
The website or the phone number that's on the website.
Sure. Well, that's a good thing to know. Thank you. That'll be a terrific way to spread the stories. I think we've really had some wonderful conversation about all the great things you guys are doing, and we're so excited that you joined us today. I think there are a lot of opportunities in the quick calendar year because we're coming up at the end. So, Saad, does your organization, I know you just had a fundraiser at the Gaslight Theater in Oro Valley. Do you have anything else coming up that you'd like the community to know?
Between now and the end of the year, we don't have anything specific. Most of our donations and everything else, we do direct contact, with the exception of the Gaslight Music Hall. But please contact us. We're happy to accept donations, but also we're happy to give you an education about hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So if you want any of that, maybe we'll get one of our physicians to join the presentations too.
I was going to say, and I know Saad does a lot of presentations around the community on a variety of subjects, so I imagine you're happy to go talk about HBOT to other people.
I'll talk about anything, but HBOT will be, yeah, absolutely.
Saad has a long list of great topics that he can bring to any group, but I think for HBOT, that's an exciting thing to get out, so we'll have to do that. And John, I was thinking about your dogs. I thought if you know, there's so many animal websites that put those pictures of the dogs up and the pets and the cats and what have you. And I imagine you put a few pictures of those family pets up on the website. You probably get all kinds of people donating to them.
Well, we do. And each of the officers actually have a duo shot with them and their dog on our website. And I just wanted to mention Tuesday, November 29th,
Is that right after Thanksgiving?
Let's see here. Oh, 26th, just before, we'll be having a discussion on the canine retirement program at our monthly meeting. And we'll also have a visit from Barbara LaWall, the Pima County attorney. And I believe she is going to be making a nice talk about it. She's going to retire as well this year.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. So
she's going to have to find her own healthcare solution for long term.
If you've never heard her speak, she's a great speaker and has done a lot of good. She's been the attorney here the entire time I've lived in Arizona, which is 16 years. So if you want to make it by, we'd love to have you.
That sounds like fun. Be a good opportunity to meet her, too, for people who haven't yet. And then, Butch, your next event coming must be in 2020.
The next event will be September the 19th will be our car show, and then on October the 10th will be our NAMM to SAM Jam.
Okay, for 2020?
For 2020.
So you take the whole first part of the year off?
No, ma'am. We don't. In fact, our first big meeting for the NAMM Jam is January the 9th. I'd have to look at the calendar. I don't have it in front of me. Is our NAMM Jam meeting, and we start planning right then. We've already put our paperwork in for the city to secure Reeds Park Band's Jail.
Oh, nice.
For 2020. If you don't get it in early, you may not get what the date you want.
Sure. So it's October 20?
October the 10th.
October 10th, 2020. And it's open to the public?
Open to the public.
And how many people would you guess attend?
Our average at any one time is maybe for 1,200 or a little over, but the total for the day, we reached probably about 5,000.
Boy, that sounds like fun. And there's music, and
music
I imagine there's
foods. 10 to 5.
Sure. So it sounds like people will want to put that on their calendar for 2020, fall 2020, and stop in, and it's here in Tucson, so that's convenient. Well, I know everybody has a lot of things going on, and of course it's the holiday season, and being November, again, we want to give thanks to all the veterans who've served and all of our first responders, the firemen, the police departments, everyone. I know that everybody's busy this time of year, so we want to make sure to take time and make sure we recognize those people. And again, thank you for your service. And I didn't ask you, Saad, if either you or John were ever served in the military or...
I did not.
No?
I actually had a draft card.
Oh, I thought that was scary.
And the mandatory draft stopped January 1st, 1975. And I turned 18 on February 10th of that year, so...
I bet your mom was relieved.
Well, during that time, I'm sure she was as well.
Sure.
And but, you know, most young men during that era, we were ready and prepared to go if we had to.
Sure.
So politics or not, I wasn't going to Canada, let me put it that way.
There you go. That's the true American spirit for sure.
Yeah. No, I had not served, and actually part of the condition of having people on our board is they have to be a veteran. So I stepped down from the board to become the director of strategy and operations because we want to reserve board members to be veterans. Just as somebody said earlier, I think you did, Butch, that it's easier for veteran to talk to veteran. Yeah. So to have board members who are veterans is just helps a lot.
Well, that's terrific, and I really thank all of you for coming today and for sharing all this information. I really do think you're all superheroes. It's kind of a joke in the McClure family. We've named our children after superheroes, even our new grandson's named after a superhero. We have a Batman, a Superman, a Wolverine, and Peter Parker. So we recognize those people every day. I told my children growing up, you're all my superheroes, and they all rose to the occasion and dove in anytime they needed to. So it really is how I see the nonprofits in Tucson, every single one of you. And we're all very thankful this month of November that you are part of our community. And we're thankful for all of our veterans and for all who came in today. And we hope you all have a wonderful November holiday as well as the holidays through December and a lovely ringing in of 2020. So thank you again for joining me on Tucson Business Radio X, Southern Arizona Nonprofits, Impacting superheroes impacting our community.
Thanks, Barbara.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming. And everyone have a lovely evening.
Impact with Barbara McClure, featuring Southern Arizona nonprofits within our community.